with the before picture, before the cross. The Gospel of Matthew, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to start at verse 59 and read a couple of verses together. Matthew 26, verse 59 says this, "The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.' Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, 'Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?' But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, 'I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' In verse 64, 'Yes, it is as you say,' Jesus replied." Let's take a moment this morning and pray before we carry on. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for everything that we are celebrating today: the empty tomb, the life, the defeat of sin and death, the hope of a new after for us, no matter what our before looks like. And I just pray that you will take the words that we have shared this morning and that they would impact our hearts together. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. This before picture of Easter was not a great picture. This before picture showed the religious authorities who were attempting to find a reason to put Jesus to death, but they couldn't find a reason. So they went the next step and they tried false witnesses, it said. They gathered people around that would make up false stories to hopefully that they could find a false reason to put Jesus to death. But as happens so often when we try to fabricate things, when we put on a front that's not really us, the details didn't match up. And people saw right through it. These fabrications did not bring the desired condemnation of Jesus. But they had this desire in their hearts before the cross. They had this desire in their hearts. They said, "We want this man gone. We want this leader gone." But they had to do it in a way that they could at least respect their laws. And so finally, we read in verse 61 that someone came up with an allegation that they could make stick. Someone said, "I heard Jesus say that he would destroy and rebuild the temple in 3 days. Now, folks, you have to understand why this was significant to the people that were hearing this. Because the building of the temple was something that the Messiah was going to do. It was something that the chosen one of God was going to do. The nation of Israel was waiting for the Messiah to come and to rebuild the temple. And so for Jesus to suggest that he was going to rebuild the temple would be a pretty serious allegation. In fact, it was blasphemy, unless, of course, you were the Messiah. And this allegation pushed all the buttons of the religious leaders. It triggered them. It's just like our kids can do sometimes. If you have kids or grandkids, you know there's some things that they can say that just get right on your last nerve right away, even though you maybe weren't even on your last nerve to begin with. I know in my house sometimes it's been, "Dad, so-and-so's playing with your new iPhone." No, we don't do that. Put that down. I'm sure you have things in your house. Another one in my house, "Mom, so-and-so's running with scissors." That happened last night. Yeah. Apparently when Mandy was growing up, that was one of the worst things that you could do, is to run with a pair of scissors. But all of our children have these ways that they just push our buttons immediately like that. And this allegation against Jesus pressed every button of the authorities in place, because only the Messiah could rebuild the temple. Only the Messiah could make a statement that says, I will tear down the temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And so the high priest asks Jesus the question point blank. Are you the Son of God, the Christ? And Jesus replied and said, it is as you say. In Mark's gospel, he replies, I am, which is a carryover from something the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said in the Old Testament. In fact, he was saying, yes, it is as you say. And that sealed the deal. That sealed the deal. They pushed on forward through the Roman authorities with this substantiated allegation, and Jesus was put to death. And that's where we were on Good Friday. That's where we were on Good Friday. We celebrated the death. But folks, this was the before picture. This was the false allegations, the twisted words, the death. It wasn't a really great picture. It was the before picture. You might be thinking this morning, I've heard that story before. You might be thinking this morning, I've heard that play out so many times before. In fact, when you look through the history of time, there's been many people who have come and they've said, I am the called one of God. I am the anointed one of God. And they've gathered followings around them. And then it has collapsed. And we see the after picture was not really what the before picture claimed it would be. You read through history, and I was looking through that this week. I was amazed by just how many times in church history people have risen up with virtually the same claim that Jesus made before the cross. Maybe the most popular in our day that many of you remember would be the name David Koresh in the 90s. A gentleman, that wasn't even really his name, he changed his name, but he gathered some people, he claimed to have been the anointed one of God, he brought them into a compound in Texas, and it ended with siege and loss of life, and indeed the loss of his very own life. And so when we live through times like that, and we see that play out before us in real life, and then we look and we see what Jesus said, and we say, how can we trust? How can we even know if there's been so many others that have made this same claim? But it's because the after. It's because of what we are celebrating today, the resurrection. It's because the before and the after didn't match except in one situation. The after picture of Christ is distinctly different than the after pictures we have seen before. If you've turned the page in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, we read an account of the after picture, the thing that we are celebrating today. Matthew 28, verse 1 says this, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled it back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white with snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come, let me show you the place where he laid. Folks, in the heart-wrenching days after the death, some women went to the tomb, to where Jesus was, to pay respects. But what they found instead of a body to pay respects was an open tomb. They found angels and guards that were afraid, and they found a message that said this, he is not here, he is risen just as he said. Just as he said, suddenly they realized what he had said had been true. The after picture rang true. When he said that he would destroy the temple and build it back up in 3 days, he wasn't talking about a physical building. He was talking about himself. He was talking about himself as a temple. They misunderstood. And on that third day, the day that we celebrate today, Resurrection Sunday, Jesus walked away from the grave. Jesus after was different. Jesus after was the only after that was different of all the people that made these claims to have been the anointed one of God. When we look at all of the others that have made claims, people died along with them in a final battle. Jesus saved people despite the bloodshed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when a sword was struck on a guard, Jesus healed the man. Jesus on the cross didn't bring people to death with him, but he looked to the thief on the one side and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And so now here we are, 2,000 years later, still celebrating the social and religious milestone that we are this weekend. We don't celebrate the life of any other story. In fact, sometimes we don't really want to even talk about them. But the fact that 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating the story of Jesus Christ tells us that there is something different about this man. There is something different about this claim that he had. And so, folks, this morning here at Evangel Assembly, 2,000 years later, it is still as he said. Is he the Messiah? He was asked 2,000 years ago, and he said, "It is as you have said," and it still is. Folks, here at Evangel, we're not just a building, although sometimes we get referred to as a building. Do you know where Evangel is? Yeah, it's on Parade Street. Well, actually, some people aren't sure where Parade and Myrtle are, so I usually tell them it's across the road from Mountain Cemetery. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing to be known for our proximity to a cemetery, but it certainly is handy when we have funerals here. But when we say, "Where is Evangel Assembly?" sometimes we say, "Well, it's on Parade Street. It's that brick building up there that you know, sometimes I'm not sure what goes on in there. Sometimes I've been in there, sometimes I'm not sure." But folks, we're not a building. Evangel Assembly is a group of people. Where is Evangel? Evangel is here and there and everywhere in our community. We are a group of people. That is what the church is. Some of us are shy. Some of us are more reserved. Some of us are loud. Some of us have a lot to say. Some of us are a little crazier than others. But we're all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. But what binds Evangel Assembly together is that we have a faith in Jesus Christ. We have a new thing that bonds us together. We are a group of people that, having confessed faith in Christ, look at before and after, and we see a different picture in the after. And it's a picture that's far more compelling. Because the Apostle Paul says that before the cross, we were enemies of God. Indeed, before the cross, we were enemies, journeying through the ups and the downs of life, sometimes unsure, sometimes confused, sometimes lacking something solid to hold on to, often frustrated. But after the cross, things changed. It's not perfection, because on our worst days and in our worst moments, we might still look a little bit like that before snapshot. But instead of falling down and feeling the shame of always being just out of reach, instead of feeling like that peace that we are reaching for is just slipping through our grasp, instead of feeling like that joy that we see on other people's faces is just elusive enough that we can't grab hold of it, instead of feeling like the love that we see in other people is not there for us, instead of those things, our after picture tells us that Jesus Christ broke the cycle of sin and shame, where there is forgiveness and there is no more condemnation when we stand with Christ Jesus. Our after is different. We can live beyond our impulses. We can be surrounded by a peace that passes all understanding. And when we encounter the worst trials, we can see over the summit and we get a glimpse of that peace. And it comes and it sustains us every day, day by day. Folks, the offer is open to any of us all of us, in fact, because of the resurrection of Christ. Every single one of us can come and we can find a place. We can find a place in the story of Christ. We can find a place in our life. It doesn't matter what our before story looks like. It doesn't matter what our before picture looks like. Our after picture can look different with Christ. Because the Apostle Paul tells us that when we come to Christ, we are a new creation. Folks, there's a before and an after picture for everyone that calls Evangel Assembly their family, their home today. And just in case you don't believe it, trust me, because I've heard their before stories. There's a before and an after story for everyone. Just because you might feel like your before story has been especially different, especially difficult, especially unworthy, doesn't mean that there is not grace for that, that there is not an after picture that Christ can write through that. We have people here at Evangel Assembly who have been on the brink of devastating illness, and the love and the touch of God have brought them back from that. We've heard many testimonies and a really fantastic testimony of a healing from cancer that the doctor in Yarmouth said has never seen chemo work like that on that cancer ever before. And we say that is the evidence of God and the fruit of our prayers. We have people who their before story looks a lot like anxiety and struggles with mental health. And then in Christ, every day they are given the ability to walk closer with God. And every day they are given the grace to walk with Him. We have people who have walked through the pain of divorce and they have emerged on the other side with grace and new life. And we have people who have walked through difficult marriages and seen restoration. And through Christ, all of our mercies are new every morning. And we have a hope that comes from outside of ourselves that tomorrow can be a better day than today. That the after of accepting what Christ did on the cross opens to us an abundant life. And folks, this isn't the exception. This is the norm at every church that gathers. This morning at Yarmouth Wesleyan Church, they are celebrating the baptism of some folks. Eight people who have just come to faith in the Lord. It happens at the Salvation Army. It happens at the Baptist Church. How do I know? Because I know these people and I know their stories. And folks, it happens at Evangel Assembly all the time as well. And so this morning, if you're here, the invitation of Easter calls out to you because you are here and you are hearing this word. And so the invitation of Easter is this: Would you be willing to take your before and allow God, by His Son Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection, write a new after? Even though you have no idea what that after might look like, would you have the faith, would you have the courage that it takes to allow Jesus Christ to write a new after? We heard Daryl's story this morning. He came in years and years ago. He came in lost and not sure what he was looking for, but he found something. He found a new after. And that invitation is there for all of us this morning. I'm going to invite Pastor Aaron and the worship team to come back, and we're going to close in just a moment this morning. But as they come back and as they start playing, I want to share with you a story of a gentleman. His last name was Morgan, and he lived 100 years ago. And he was a gentleman who was going in for an examination to be a minister. And in his particular tradition, he had to go before a committee of his elders, and he had to share his best sermon, and then they would determine whether or not he was accepted or rejected for the ministry in that particular year. And so when this gentleman, Morgan, stepped into the room of all of the eyes watching him. And all of the critical eyes, he thought, I can't do this. And it caught him up short. And several weeks later, he found in his letter the one stamp that he did not want to see rejected from ministry that year. Years later, his daughter-in-law wrote a biography of her father-in-law. And when he got that rejected note, he said this. He said things were very dark. Everything seemed really still. But the Lord knows best. And he quickly received a telegram from his father that said, rejected on earth, but accepted in heaven, Dad. And so, folks, we know from this story of Morgan and what he experienced that though we might experience all kinds of things here on earth, though we might experience rejection, though we might feel that we're not good enough, though we might feel that our before is too broken, too far gone, too short of redemption, though we might feel that our before has some fundamental flaw in it and Jesus would never be interested in writing an after story for it, folks, the things, all the things that we see on this earth as barriers and obstacles are torn down because Jesus Christ walked out of the grave. Because sin and death are broken, because they no longer have to have a hold and they no longer have to have a victory over us. Everything we are celebrating this weekend, everything we are celebrating is about the ministry of reconciliation that Jesus Christ did on the cross. We now can come close to God. We don't have to stay far away from God. Everything that we ever thought would hold us back has been torn down in one event. It is finished. It is finished. And so, folks, all we have to do to accept that reconciliation is to ask. All we need to do is to take that first step. And here at Evangel, this is one of the most important things the church does, is walk through that step and then continue to grow closer to the Lord with folks. And so the band's going to close with a song, and I want you to think this morning. I want you to ask yourself, is the Spirit of God drawing your heart to Him this morning? Is your heart being drawn toward a new after? Do you have faith? Do you believe that God, by His power that He demonstrated at Easter, could take your before and could generate an after that would be full of abundant life, that would be full of peace and joy and love and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control, unlike we could ever accomplish on our own, but like we desperately desire? Do you have faith this morning that that can happen for you? Do you wish, do you have a desire in your heart that that could happen for you? And if you have that desire in your heart this morning, it is put there not by us, not by me, not even by your own desires, because we know that we are brought to God on not on our own abilities, on our own accord, but because He is drawing us first. So if you have that desire in your heart this morning, it is put there by God Himself. And I want to encourage you to make that step, to take that step. As the worship team is singing, consider this. And then in a few moments, I'm just going to ask for a response. But consider this. Say, Holy Spirit, are you drawing my heart this morning? Are you wanting to write a new after for the before that I have brought in with me?